B-Pod Studios.
That's an app.
Hi, how are you, honey? Hello!
This is where Boston talks sports.
I'm overwhelmed.
Rich.
You can eat a lot at one sitting.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, this is from me. This is from Nicky Knuckles to Anderson. Anderson, I'm looking for you. You two-faced rat.
Shoots box.
Oh, he got his pocket picked from behind that time. Right in the net. Nordstrom shoots. He scores! Right circle. Johansson fires. He scores! The Bruins force the turnover back in the net. Marcus Johansson, right circle. Stepping inside the far post. His first goal of the playoffs. 2-0 Bruins.
Yes, Bruins! Let's go, Bruins!
Brask, a stop on Matthews, point blank. Brask able to stop the return from Mitch Marner, who's denied. Time of the stop on Brask. He drove it at the near post. Brask slid across, made the save. Nice shot to the far circle. Fires! He scores! Sean Corrali raced in, angled to the left circle, and snapped one by Freddie Anderson. Bruins 3, Maple Leafs 1. Dolan, Krejci, far circle, centers, Coyle shoots. He scores! The Bruins create the turnover. Bruins 4, Maple Leafs 1. For the second consecutive year, the Boston Bruins are going to eliminate the Toronto Maple Leafs in Game 7. Behind a magnificent performance by Tuukka Rask.
Hey, this is from me. This is from Nicky Knuckles to Anderson. Anderson, I'm looking for you. You two-faced rat.
Five to Sports Hub, we're touching. Yeah. What'd you have to eat there, Pasta Joe?
Yeah.
Okay, no need to elaborate. All right, Billy Jaffe from Nesson, also from the NHL Network, joins us.
I will have you know, I chose Nesson last night.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I think it was because I was yelled at by Jack Edwards on Twitter. That is indeed on Nesson.
So all caps works.
He went all caps on us. And you know what, to be honest, and I even said it on the air this morning. I'm not just saying this because you're here. As cheesy as some of the stuff that Jack said last night, it worked. Like, I mean, that one line where he was talking about the Leafs are now mulch, it actually worked. In the moment, it was good. It felt good at the moment.
Boo.
However, Billy, we did miss out on one thing on the other network, which probably might have been the highlight of the evening outside of the win, and that would be Mike Milbury, who is sitting next to Doc Emrick. And you know Doc Emrick is the consummate professional. The guy, I mean, he is probably as good of a broadcaster as you can have. It takes a lot to shake Doc Emrick. Mike Milbury did it last night.
Icing is called. But it gives the Bruins a chance to.
Doc is his, and not only that, he's just as straight laced, as wonderful a guy as you'll meet. I've worked, I don't know, about 100 games. I've worked tons of games with Doc Emrick. And so he's got this wonderful, passionate fire to him when he's working too. I mean, but then you could hear that. What the? This happened.
Milbury, we're in the middle of the game. You have the headset on. You're standing next to me.
Milbury doesn't care. Nothing's going to happen.
Oh, that's not coming back from commercial.
Right,
that
that's
is
in
not
game.
Like you're that is in game. He said that.
But you could hear. I could just see Doc doing this. Like, what?
What? Did you just say F me on television?
You know,
what was that, Michael?
You can tell Milbury has no bias at all. He's calling that thing as neutral as possible.
Nice. That was pretty great. So last night's game, I mean, everything, it was, I was stressed out. That second period obviously was a miserable period to watch.
It's awesome. But it set up the drama for the third period. I mean, that's the way I looked at it, in the sense of course, I'm thrilled that the Bruins rebounded for a third period that was as solid as they come. That was the kind of effort I mean, we can get technical or X and O's, but all was all said and done, it was Will. They understood what they needed to do. Their leaders led the way. And then everybody else came through, and they listened, and they followed, and they didn't chase, and they were wait. They were patient. They produced in that third period the way that championship teams do. Mm-hmm. And I'm not getting ahead of myself. I'm saying, I mean, for, they won the series at the very, you know, they did it the right way. But yeah, I mean, if you didn't have that second period ice tilt, you wouldn't have had the drama in the third period. That's what makes the playoffs so freaking fun. Is that there's this, you, every time you're on, if you're following your team, every time they touch the puck in the offensive zone or the opponent has it in their zone, mm-hmm. you're just like, oh no, because you know that one goal could be all you get in the game. Fantastic theater, just great theater, awesome energy. You know, where our booth, as you guys know, where we broadcast from, there's that sports deck next to us.
Yeah.
That was three deep last night. That was three deep. That was going crazy. There were guys holding some of those, what are they, 40-ouncers or 32-ouncers? You know, four of them in there. You know what I mean? It was one of those great nights that you relish being a part of the Boston sports scene.
Did you see the dude who sang the anthem, slinging drinks there at the sports desk?
I always do. Todd, two anthem Todd, we call it. He's fantastic. He's a great guy. Todd Angeli has, you know, he started getting opportunities for Renee a year ago, actually 2 years ago, and then last year did more. And then this year, there was a plethora of singers, but Todd became the main guy when it mattered, especially on dual anthem nights.
Yeah.
And now he's the guy, and I would like to think he continues to be the guy. He does a great job, and then he comes next door and he serves you with a smile.
All right, so Billy, you've been, the way you analyze this game, you've been vindicated because you talked about the importance of Corrali, who last night was a linchpin in the whole thing, and you talked about Tuukka Rask and how you thought he was playing well, and Tuukka Rask was the first star of the game last night.
Played great last night.
And so look at you. Your predictions have all come true, or your analysis has all come true.
Thankfully.
So why did you think that about Corrali? Because, I mean, obviously.
Okay, here's the thing. People, Boston has a history, and this is what I think why they always resonate towards the fourth line guys or the depth guys in any other sport. The history of the mentality of it. They've seen the working guy, that working class guy on a team. I mean, go back to the Red Sox of years ago. They love that here. And I mean, think about the Celtics during, you know, McHale was phenomenal, but he was that, you know what I mean, during that time, he was that working class kind of, it was that blue collar mentality. Bruins saw that with the Merlot line in 11. Mm-hmm. They love that. Corrali adds that element to that line. Wagner was the same way. Achari, Joakim Nordstrom. But what Sean Corrali does is he brings speed. He also brings size, and he can win wall battles. And then he doesn't always do it the most the smoothest ways, but he is effective at holding on to the puck. Mm-hmm. And he works his ass off, and he'll make the plays along the wall, and he doesn't get hit as much along the wall. I think because people respect his 6'2", 205, 210 pounds or whatever, and his motor never ends. And because of that, if he doesn't turn the puck over, which he did when he was younger, which is normal, and he doesn't take penalties. There was 2 years ago where he took, remember, three penalties in one game, and Bruce Cassidy said, okay, sit down. He said, sit here.
Yeah.
He's moved beyond that because he's matured. That kind of player changes the line. When you get that motor on the ice, that initiates forecheck. Now, did you notice on the Joakim Nordstrom goal, who was the third man real high? I'm not asking. It's Noel Achari. You know, Corrali on that line becomes the first forechecker often, maybe Nordstrom. But Achari now, who reads the play really well and becomes the hitter finish guy, was the third guy high. That was beautiful. He kept the puck in. The Bruins adjusted and went a little bit even deeper with their third guy high to eliminate the stretch play from the Toronto Maple Leafs upon transition. Achari was at the blue line. He stopped it, kept it in. They got the cycle going, and then Nordstrom scored that goal right there.
Yeah, so they were able to, after game one, they were able to slow Toronto down when it came to those Hail Mary.
I would say that one of the things that was noticed, Fred, and that's a fair observation, I would say maybe it took two or three games to fight. You know, game two was pure emotion. Game three, it went back to Toronto. But game four through seven, Toronto started to wear down a little bit subtly. And so because of that I call it the tenderization process, the repeatedness of not just throttle hits. I'm talking just finish hits, just enough to be there. They had less of that extra that quick exit out of the zone. One of the ways you could tell that they had less of that, who was quiet in games 4, 5, and 6? Mitch Marner. He had one assist. Mm-hmm. He wasn't dominant. Remember the one play last night, though, where he scooted through the neutral in the first period?
Yeah.
Oh, you're like, holy smokes.
And he had three chances.
Holy smokes. You're like, oh, don't let this kid get going again. But they were able to eliminate a lot of that because of better play. But the Bruins did a nice job. I thought Bruce Cassidy and his staff did a beautiful job of adjusting. And you know what they used? They used home ice last night for matchups to their benefit.
All right. So we'll be back with Billy Jaffe. We'll talk about the importance of tonight's Game 7, and we'll talk about the matchup with Columbus. 617-779-0098.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
There's a lot more to worry about than
Toucher and Rick.
Real nightmare.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We want the cup. The chant from the fans. Bergeron toward an empty net. Marchand can't tip it in. Here comes Jim Martin's announcement.
1 minute remaining in the period.
The Boston Bruins had to weather an incredible series of injuries. 35 seconds to go. 6 skating against 5. Marner's shot. Rask another save. And Bergeron the clear. But the Bruins found other ways to win. Despite the loss of leadership and massive talent, they went on the second best point streak in club history, a 19-game streak that propelled them past the Toronto Maple Leafs and gave them home advantage in the first round of the playoffs. And Bergeron punctuates it with a 5-1 victory. The Bruins make the Stanley Cup road.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, Billy Jaffe from Nesson and the NHL Network in studio. Let's play a game.
Okay.
It's what did Bird write and what is actually going on? On line one, he says, Ken, that's clear enough. He says, comments on, and that's good. And then it says, on Malachi, M-O-L-A-C-H-I. Now let's go around the room and comments on, I might be mispronouncing this, but Rich and I both agree that Malachi is probably the way, as in the crunch from Happy Days.
That was my guess, yeah.
Pinky Dusk there, causing some problems.
I'm trying to think of what player that could be.
All right, so let's go around the room. Malachi.
Malachi, what did he mean to type in there?
Krejci.
Oh,
that's a good one.
That's not bad.
Kadri? Being out?
Could be Kadri.
I'm sticking with Krejci. I'm taking the M, and I'm going Marchand.
Okay.
But how do you go Marchand, Malachi? Yes, Dan, the other room.
As you guys were saying that, he just said Toronto? Question mark.
Okay.
No. Like, comments on? Yeah.
Malachi is Toronto? We have to find out. Let's ask Ken.
All right.
Ken,
what did you tell Bird that you wanted to talk about?
Liberace. No.
Who's he
Nola
playing for?
Nolachari, to be exact.
Nolachari, damn it! Malachi is Nolachari.
Damn it!
Okay. You know, if you say that one,
say it really fast. Nolachari, Malachi, or Malachi.
Damn it!
His name was
Mola. It's Malachi.
Malachi.
Nolachari.
It's like Johansson is Joe Hansen.
Exactly. That makes more sense.
Right.
Than
he's one of the Hansen brothers.
Right. All right. Ken, go ahead.
But that Nordstrom goal, that doesn't happen unless Achari dumps it in. He has on net dumping, and that just kept the puck in the zone. And, you know, Grizzlick stepped up too, keeping the play along the boards.
Great play.
But I just want to know if you noticed that, Billy, when you know, it was like probably around the blue, right before
we,
the
no,
blue
we
line,
talked about that. We talked about Liberace, Malachi doing that. we talked about Achari doing that because how the Bruins really brought their third guy high, Ken. They brought it real high, and that's the responsible nature of Noel Achari. It really just his read is beautiful right there. Kept it in, kept it down. Then he brings up Grizzlick also coming in. Now remember, Grizz is also playing his offside, so he's a lefty shot playing on the right side, and he's done a really fine job of that. And it's not easy at all. So he's swooping in on that offside. He gets his stick to the inside, keeps the puck alive, pushes it down low, and they get on the cycle.
By the way, Joe Murray, who is one of our bankroll boys, big sports gambling guy. You know what the over-under yet was for yesterday's game?
What?
5.5. Do you remember how the game ended?
Yeah. Oh,
like, boy. The last
millisecond of the game.
Like, yeah. Millisecond goal. Like, to the point where I wasn't even sure if they were going to count it.
Did he take the under or over?
He took the over.
Good for you.
Joey bag of money.
Boy.
Or if Bergeron was even going to do it.
Right.
I mean, there was Bergeron could have just swept it away. All right. So, tonight, you have Carolina and Washington.
Yeah. 7:30 tonight.
All right.
And that determines, by the way, what the schedule is for the Bruins.
Okay.
You know the first two nights, it's going to be Thursday, and it's going to be... You don't even know it's Saturday night. It could be during the day. We don't know that.
All right. So how important is this, in your opinion? I know we're not overlooking Columbus, but how important is the outcome of that game?
I don't think it's important at all right now.
You think they could beat either team? Even though they're snake bit against Washington?
Listen, we all know that there are issues against Washington. We know that. Now, they did win the last game against the Caps. Tuukka was really good in that game, and the team physically stepped up. I get, Freddie, I get why you're asking, but in the playoffs, each series ends up developing its own personality, and I'm not saying you're looking past this series, but on the other hand, I understand.
Listen, they're going to be heavily favored against Columbus.
Look, if Carolina, well, I don't think they'll be heavily favored. I don't, but I think they'll be favored. But I don't think they'll be heavily favored. I think that it's going to. Really quick about Columbus. You want to talk about stark contrast of a series
They match up better.
In theory, yes.
Yeah, yes. Because they're a heavy team. They don't have as much speed.
They play a different style too,
right? The Bruins match
should match up better with. Yes, no question about it. No question. It should feel. Of course, we know what that means. But yes, they should. The Bruins did have issue though the first time they played this Columbus team with the way that Columbus worked the wall and worked behind the net, and the Bruins D spun, turned, and then they had net front coverage issues.
Mm-hmm.
They figured it out by the end of the regular season. But the one thing that I will say, there's one caveat. The Bruins haven't seen this gelled Columbus team. They saw a team that was putting its pieces together when they started playing them at the end of the year. But they haven't seen the Columbus Blue Jackets this gelled, that they at least were in their first round dismantling the sweep of Tampa. Just, I'm not being a smartass. Just to go back to your original comment. Listen, in theory, it would be great if Carolina won. In theory, it would be great. And it should be a fun game tonight watching that. I think Washington still wins if they play their game. I think they do. Home ice, again, helps them there. But when it's all said and done, we're seeing these series, these series take on a whole crazy personality of their own.
Okay, let me make it easy for you. Calgary's gone. The Lightning's gone. Are the Bruins the best team left in the playoffs?
On paper, yes.
Okay.
On paper, yes.
All right. So, how much is the goaltending with Columbus?
Bobrovsky's been great, man.
How does
this series
scare you? That's got to scare you a little.
I respect it. I do. You're gonna have to think. Here's the thing. Bobrovsky is as athletic, if not even more athletic than Freddie Anderson. Okay. He's a better goalie than Freddie Anderson.
Sure.
There's no doubt, and he's at a level that he wasn't playing at before too. And so it's the old, you better put the puck through the back of the net. One of the things the Bruins are going to have to do a better job at, and I think they tried to do it better last night, was getting bodies in front. I thought if they got bodies more in front of Freddie Anderson, he'd get a little bit rattled. That's not his game. Mm-hmm. Now, he also plays a more athletic style. He's not as floppy as Timmy Thomas was, but he's nowhere near as smooth as Tuukka Rask is. That's one of the reasons why Tuukka doesn't make some of those 10-bell saves that you see Freddie Anderson doing, is because it's his style. That's stylistically type thing, too. But Bobrovsky is a little different. He's not as big as Fred Anderson. But in that first round series, after the first period when he looked awful.
Right. Let him three goals.
Oh, yeah. My God. He looked awful. He looked like he was going on holiday. You know, he was ready to go on vacation.
Yeah.
He turned it on. Keep an eye on guys like Josh Anderson, Boone Jenner of Columbus. Those big bodies are playing well. And the other thing about Columbus lately, They've gotten their power play going. 50% effectiveness in the first round against Tampa, which was the number one penalty killing team in the NHL in the regular season.
All right, what does history say about waiting before a second round? Because because I know that there's different schools of thought, but what does history show you? Does a team perform better when they get time off, or is it the whole energy of not being cold?
There's a delineation of time off and too much time off, and I think Columbus right now is on the precipice. Not on. They are at that precipice of too much time off. If you go by, and I'm so bad with numbers, but I believe this is from a stats guru that I know and trust. I hope I say it right. The last three times that teams had this much time off after winning their series, I think sweeping their series or having it off, and then playing a team that went to game seven, winning, each time they lost. They being the team that had all that time off.
Okay.
I'm saying that correctly. Yeah. Here's the thing. They've had to manufacture some intensity for Columbus. They've had open skate. They had 5,000 people come to Nationwide Arena for a full, a blue white or whatever color they called it, scrimmage.
It's not the same.
It's not. They know it.
It's like coming back from injury until it took
takes you three, four games,
couple games to get back into it.
Right.
And they've been off a week.
Ten days on Thursday.
Oh, wow. So they were okay. Because I thought it was
a week ago on Monday.
Okay. Yeah, that would make sense. Okay. Because Tuesday is when we talked about it. You're right.
They've been off a really long time.
The classic one that I always remember is you go back, it was 2003, and it was Anaheim against New Jersey in the Stanley Cup final, and Anaheim had, I think, swept or 1-5 in their third round.
Yeah.
And then they're waiting. It ended up being a good series, but they felt like they could never get back again, and Jersey wins that series. When it's all said and done, I know this sounds like I'm sitting on the fence. Maybe I am here. We'll have to wait and see. But this is the thing that concerns me about Columbus is that they were basically left for dead. At the end of the season, even though they brought all these guys in, they had to battle to get into the playoffs when they finally found chemistry the last eight games of the season, really finally did. And then first period, you met down 3-0, and basically everybody's like, screw them, they're done. And if anything, they showed me something. They really showed me something in that game, in that series. And so now let's see if the Bruins can say, all right, hey, they were good. We're a better team. We're a better matchup.
Did you see somebody special ordered a brand new jersey? See that? What does that say there, Billy?
I wish that it's
Malachi.
that is spelled
jersey.
Better than what was on the screen. M O L A C H I. That actually makes sense. All right, Billy Jaffe, enjoy yourself. I know you're going to do some nesting. You're going to do some NHL radio
and NHL Network.
NHL Network. This is his time of year, baby.
Love it.
This is when the big bucks. Drinks on Jaffe,
yes,
ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, let's get together soon. Do it.
Right. You don't mean that.
I do mean it.
All right.
Jesus. All right. You don't be.
I'm playing golf with Gorman next week. Might as well hook up with you, too.
I think I'm gone all week. But the week
I've been to this dance before.
I would love to play golf with you. Are you kidding me?
I can only play twice a month, so.
All right.
On my own.
I look forward to playing golf with you just to see how you react on the golf course.
I don't care. I know what I am.
And I still think you have some good reactions, though.
Yeah. My reaction is putting a can to mouth. All right. We will be back. Here are the headlines.
98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Child. Something.
Wonder Woman was there, but she's lost all her powers.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5 The Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich. A emotionally exhausted Nicholas Jamelli coming into studio. Worn out by the new Avengers film. taxing emotionally.
I never would have thought you'd have made it 4 hours, but you did.
I just remembered that I was supposed to say it.
Oh, again, if he hadn't come in here, you would have skipped it?
If he said he cried at the end, I would have not cared. Because I've cried at stupid crap. Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. Everyone has.
Mm-hmm.
But when he said it was emotionally exhausting, that's such like a housefrau, your wife bothering you kind of thing to say.
Yeah, he's, I think, a little bit fragile right now because, I mean, the dude worked. You know, because right after this, he went to, like, he didn't go home for that long. He went to a bar before the Avengers screening, which was from 2 to 5. And then he went straight to the Bruins game and then did Bruins recaps and got back late last night. So,
wow, he went to a bar and a movie? I take it.
And then
back.
He went, well, I mean, he was up at, you know, 4 a.m. and then went to bed at like
easily,
probably 1 a.m.
He could have easily slept. I mean, it's not my fault that he went to a bar.
Oh, I'm not saying it's excusable, but I'm saying it's probably why he's so fragile right now.
Okay.
The man has not gotten much sleep.
Well, you watched the game. So did I. He went to a bar, watched a movie he wanted to see, and watched a hockey game.
He didn't sleep much. That's what it is.
Fair enough.
You got 3 hours of sleep over the last...
I don't think our listeners are particularly concerned about that day. It sounds like an awfully nice day.
No, I'm not saying it was rough for him. I'm saying that's why he is probably emotionally fragile.
Well, we'll see tomorrow if he can overcome this mental fragility.
I don't know if he could.
Dude, guys, I'm sorry I'm down in the dumps. I went to a bar and then saw a movie I've been waiting to see for a year and then watched a great Game 7. I don't know what to tell you. I didn't sleep. Well, F you. How about that?
I bet if you wouldn't have said anything, Wallach would have tweeted something like that after Game of Thrones was done.
No. I don't think I would have done that.
Absolutely.
Let me make it abundantly clear. Being emotional about something you've invested a lot of time into is completely understandable.
That is what Nick is doing.
I said that. That's understandable. Describing it as emotionally exhausting is not forgivable.
Apparently not.
If he said I cried, if he said that like it sucks, like all those things are perfectly fine. I don't care. I'm human. I've cried at Dumber. I cried at the last Wonder Years, and so did half my fraternity.
I guess you were watching it with your fraternity brothers?
I told you it was the year. It was a year after I graduated, and I went and we hung out and we just like for 3 days, like just went at it. And then it was on like at like 11 in the morning, and everyone was sitting around and like foggy. And then all of a sudden, like, and then it just. You look around and everyone's like kind of tearing. I mean, no one's bawling, but everyone's kind of tearing up. Yeah, oh yeah. I've cried at a commercial. The one that I got welled up, the one we used to play here where the woman is like a baby and then she's sending the kid off to college. That's emotional.
Is that the Folgers commercial?
No, it was on the radio.
Oh.
I can't remember what it was for, but it was on the radio. I got too wound up in it.
So you're going to be a grandpa, huh?
Oh, this was a brilliant end to this.
Happens in a heartbeat. One day you're in diapers, next day you're gone. But the memories of childhood stay with you for the long haul.
That just pisses me off how much it ripped off Stand By Me.
Who cares? Admit that tugs at your heartstrings.
I watched it. I didn't cry, well, but I mean, was you know, identified with the guy with the glasses.
Josh Saviano.
He was like looking at the mirror.
I'm aware of what Josh Saviano looks like.
I have a feeling.
Thank you, Rich.
I was having a feeling that name on the tip of your tongue tells
that's
me.
That's the first time I've ever heard that. I've never heard that comparison before. How about that? And I made it all this time in life without ever being compared to Josh Saviano.
Who did you compare to more, him or Arvin from Head of the Class?
No, Saviano by a landslide.
Right.
Yeah.
Arvin from Head of the Class is even...
No, not Arvin. I didn't get much of that at all.
By the way, I am waiting to hear back from Joe Murray, our bankroll boy, because I want to know what the Vegas odds are now that Boston gets the Grand Slam this year with all four teams winning a championship. I want to find out what kind of Vegas odds. Now that the first, now that the two teams have gotten past the first round, I'm wondering what it is. Like, I guess it would just essentially right now be a parlay of the
two
teams.
When was the last time one city got three in one calendar year?
Has it ever?
I'm trying to remember.
Has the city ever had three in the same year?
Boston has had three teams reach the finals in one calendar year.
Because right now the chances of three teams winning look pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, you would have to think that the Bruins would win. The chances are Vegas probably thinks it's pretty good odds.
Bruins have decent odds, I would think, to win the Cup at this point.
The Celtics are really going to be the tough long shot. However, who knows? Who knows what the hell is going to happen?
When was the last time anyone got three?
I wonder if anyone has. That's actually a good question.
If
you got to think about, like, Pittsburgh...
Well, Pittsburgh didn't have a basketball team, so they'd have to run the table with the others.
Yeah, with the other three. I'm trying to think of what teams would qualify.
I mean, bet you, because I would bet you $1 million that the Pirates and the Steelers won in the same year. Because that Willie Stargell team was in the late
79.
Okay, so they won the Super Bowl.
So look at the Penguins and find out what the deal was.
Same calendar year, 79. Yeah, the Penguins never won one until Lemieux showed up, right? Yeah. So no, that's not
okay.
It. But that's two in the same year.
Do you know, like...
Just a quick Wikipedia check says, no U.S. or Canadian city has ever won all four major sports championships in the same year. However, before the NBA was formed in 1946, one city did win all three major MLB, NFL, NHL. Looks like it was Detroit.
Oh, Lions. The old AFL championship.
1935.
That wasn't the AFL. Detroit's an original team. Detroit used to play like the Hershey Gamblers and stuff.
Pastor Joe, what do you think about potential Grand Slam with all the teams winning a championship? Okay, well, thank you.
If the Bruins win and then there's that parade and then like 3 weeks later...
There's a Celtics parade?
That would just be like eight people.
the ultimate middle finger to the rest of the nation.
I guarantee you that there will be... You remember how pissed people got when the Patriots had the parade just a couple months after the Red Sox won? People were saying, you don't shut down a city to have her Duck Bowl parade. Just wait. If 2 weeks apart, you get two championship parades.
Jeez.
Oh, that would be hysterical.
It's going to be so fun to live in the city.
It's going
to
be the ultimate. Oh, it's actually not tough because everyone's used to it now. Everyone, and they're so good at cleaning it up and setting it up. Everyone knows how it works.
I just think of it, that it would be kind of anticlimactic.
Oh, well, definitely. I mean, it just... Put it this way. The Red Sox parade in itself was anticlimactic. I was saying this. I remember when the St. Patrick's Day parade used to be the most insane thing going on in Boston. And you look at it like this year and it's like, dude, there's been two championship parades that were way worse as far as like people going crazy, as far as like arrests. Yeah. And it's not as fun anymore, to be quite honest.
Of course not. Paul, go ahead.
Hey, I was wanted to comment on Nick being emotionally drained. I've been in the hospital for 14 days. I'm flat in my back, five surgeries, and I'm not even emotionally drained, so I don't know what's going on.
Well, best of luck to you, sir. As you,
Nick's on his feet after that one. He's not happy at all.
If he came in and said, I'm hungover, I would have said, God bless you. We've all been there, except for John. All right, so we'll take a break and we'll be back.
Hang on. It's 40-1 odds, according to Joe Murray.
All right. That's lower than I would have thought.
That is low.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really low.
Get on that now.
I'm going to put some money on that. Yeah. I'll give it to Joe Murray. 40-1 odds? Why not?
But repeating in the major leagues is almost impossible.
No. You don't have to repeat.
No, you just one calendar year, all four sports. So the Red Sox and Patriots are taken care of.
Yeah, they're done.
Now,
it's just
the calendar year starts in January.
No, it's
In
112 month span.
That's the Grand Slam.
From October to October. How's that?
Okay, that's not a calendar year, but okay.
I misspoke. 112 month span, all four major professional sports.
How about teams that were playing in 2018? Because they all were. All four were playing in 2018.
Okay, it's just not a calendar year.
That's it's not. 112 month span, four championships.
Teams that started in 2018.
All right, I don't know if that's a bet you can make, but I'm sure it is. All right, so we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Thanks for starting your day with Toucher and Rich.
Why are you doing this to me?
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich.
Gives the Bruins a chance to...
That was the best. I mean, the fact that even Doc Emrick got shook by Mike Milbury swearing was just shows how rare it is, and how Doc Emrick couldn't conceive how someone could be standing next to him with a headset on the air, mid-game, not coming back for commercial, and go,
that's great. That's why I trust Jim Louth. And they got to have Jim Louth back at headquarters here at the Mothership, and we're doing games, because I swear a lot, especially when things aren't going well.
The thing is that people aren't like offended by swears really anymore.
Why should you be?
They've moved on to like... even equally as dumb crap to get upset about. But, like, swearing is become, like, less taboo than it was when I first started in radio.
Right. Well, I mean, just think about the press conferences. You know, all these athletes, you know how
think
weird
about the
it
president.
Was? Well, like, president, sure. I mean, tweeting out the other day.
No, or saying at a rally, BS.
Yeah, well, I mean, how, like, 10 years ago, even 10 years ago, if an athlete swore at a post-game press conference, like, that was big news. And now what happens all the time, and nobody cares. Nobody even thinks twice about it.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, you're right. It has changed. However, when you're doing it next to Doc Emrick, it's...
No, it's still
amazing.
It's still jarring, like, when you hear it like that. But I mean, he's not going to get any trouble. He's not going to have to apologize. I mean, I think that you could get away with a couple of those.
It also was just, it exposes how completely biased he was in that broadcast.
There's no neutrality when it comes to Milbury.
It's like an icing. F me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe he like spilled coffee on himself. We don't even know what happened.
Done that before.
Could have been the case. Oh, during a broadcast?
Oh, yeah. I've dumped it like right on the headset and everything. Yeah.
Okay, I have a question. When you used to have to call like 85 high school championship games in a row, did you drink?
What?
Did you drink?
Hell no.
See, I would think that they would allow you to drink.
And pass out after like 4 hours. You got to be...
Not the whole thing.
No, but I mean, God, no. Because it's like 10 straight hours of calling games.
That's six games in a row that day, right?
We'd go in...
It's one loud ringer.
Yeah, well, it's draft day tomorrow. we'd go in, and they would give us all the stuff, like what the teams run and the offensive sets. I said, I don't want that. I want phonetic spelling of every player.
Yeah, perfect.
I said, because I'm not going to know anything about either. I've never seen any teams play. And I said, the worst thing and the most disrespectful thing you can do is mispronounce the name of the player.
Because that's all.
Because he's going to go back and watch it on TV and, you know, Jim Schapelsky. Will Schapelsky, you know.
Well, you would have to imagine the majority of that audience is related or friends with the players on the team.
It's the towns. It's like if you're calling, because we had Everett, like, back from Bird's days.
It's so weird that Everett gets all those really good kids that they all grow up in Everett.
It is amazing. Like, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, Everett must have something in the water.
It's called toughness.
That's right.
Stones.
Pasta Joe, is that all on the up and up?
Okay,
all right, thank you.
Non-committal.
How do you think his back is?
But imagine if there was a Pasta Joe doll and you squeezed it. It's like a Teddy Ruxpin.
Teddy Ruxpin.
Just makes that sound.
Yeah.
Pillsbury Pasta Joe. He's just like sticking with his stomach and...
It's the worst teddy bear ever. You just press it and he goes...
Remember my buddy?
My buddy, I remember that.
My buddy and me, and then they had Kid Sister because all the women got offended.
Yeah. I know the theme songs to both.
Yeah. Well, everyone knows my buddy.
Wherever I go, she goes.
My buddy
and me. Hey, but climb up a tree.
We got Jason Tatum and Brad Stevens on the show today.
Jason Tatum.
Wow.
Jason Tatum,
yeah, random, right?
Wow, very nice.
Tell him I think he's overrated.
Okay.
I'll start with that.
Yeah. Just go, there's a guy here at the station.
Yeah, I'm going to ask him why his mother looks so bored at games.
Did you hear he has a picture, like he framed a picture of him dunking on LeBron in his house?
He should.
Yeah.
I don't have an issue with that.
No,
that's badass,
that was one of the best. I mean, think about it, if you're him. Like, and you're a rookie, and you go out there, and in a playoff game, you dunk on LeBron James.
I mean, never happened. Like that, again. Yeah, you just freeze it. It's like the Edelman catch.
LeBron freaking James.
Yeah. That's like.
I don't ever. You lost the series. Like, yeah, you did lose the series, but you still dunked on LeBron. Yeah.
I have a Leroy Neiman painting of me riding a mighty steed.
No, you're
dumb. I commissioned him.
That'd be awesome.
How much did he cost?
Leroy Neiman.
I'll never forget. It went
so
to,
he's
alive?
So.
Is he dead?
So,
is he,
it would be a tragedy for the art world if he was. Not more respected artists out there.
When I was playing in Miami, we went to Stallone's nightclub down in South Beach, and there's like no main entrance. It's like this little side door, and you have to go in. It's real private, and you walk in. It's this dark hallway, and then it opens up, and there's this massive Leroy Neiman painting of Stallone's Rocky, and it's the original. It's sitting there.
Oh, that's
just stood
the one
there
from the
and
movie.
Stared at it. Yes,
yeah.
And I stood there and stared at it for an hour.
Neiman made a bunch of like Ted Williams paintings.
But like the Stallone popular. One is badass. Like, that was one of my favorites, man.
He's like the, he's like a step above a Holiday Inn painting. Like that would be on your wall.
Oh, no.
He's like a Marriott painter.
Yeah.
He's a Marriott.
He's not quite
that's
like
the coolest thing ever saw on South Beach.
He might be occasionally at the West Inn or the W, but for the most part, he's a Marriott guy.
Yeah, he's a Marriott guy.
Pastor Joe, what do you think about his paintings?
Okay,
appreciate it. Thanks.
He's like the dude that draws the stairs.
Yeah.
That everyone,
Escher.
Anywhere. Escher. Like, you see Stallone, you're like, boy, that guy should have a dog. Just think like, it's midget and a dog.
Have you shook the guy's hand?
No.
Rich and I did an interview with him. Dude, he's like, can't move. Like, he really can't move.
Who is this?
Stallone.
Oh, Stallone. Yeah. Yeah, he's not even that short.
He's little.
Like, for some reason in person, when we saw him, my first thought was, boy, this guy's short.
I remember.
My first thought was, wow, this guy can't move.
I'm a nice man.
He can't shake your hand.
Tom Cruise, too. Like, I remember Daniel Snyder used to bring Tom Cruise around the Redskins games, and we were playing down there, and he said, wow, the guy's just...
But Tom Cruise looks like he stepped right off of the screen. Like, he looks exactly like he does in the movies.
Oh, he looks badass. Like, I'd put him in a plane. I'd go fly with him any day, man.
It's cool that he's such a great friend in Dan Snyder. All right, what do you guys got going there?
Obviously, Game 7 and then a little Celtics when those two guys call in. And a lot more Game 7, a little bit of draft stuff. Mix it all in.
That's right. Tomorrow night, a big night. In the city of Boston.
I can't believe it. Right back at it.
I know. That'll do it for us. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.